Good morning. We'll call the January 15th, 2013 County Council meeting to order. Approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. We can amend today's agenda under executive session, striking job applicants' qualifications, personnel, pending potential litigation, and leaving land acquisition.
Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it. Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We had copies of the minutes of January 8th. Any questions, corrections, or concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Mr. President, we have several letters thanking the council for their donations. One is from the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, the Delaware chapter, the Mason-Dixon Woodworkers, and People's Place. And then I was just handed a letter, and I will read part of it because it's also indicating that it is eligible for a Councilmatic grant, which is on the agenda today. And that is, at the County Council meeting on September 18, 2012, a spokesperson for the Greater Lewis Community Village introduced the concept of an organization that's designed to assist senior citizens to age in their homes. As we are well aware, the percentage of senior citizens is rising dramatically in our area. It is projected that 20,000 more seniors will migrate to Sussex County within the next 3 years, and already as seniors account for one half of the increase in our population between 2000 and 2009. It is becoming clear that the public sector cannot provide for the services and care that will be required as our population continues to age. So it's in the interest of the county to support, in so far as practical, efforts such as this. The Cesar Rodney Institute published in 2011 a report entitled Implications of the Gray Wave Crashing into Delaware that mentions that Sussex County is a magnet for retirees. I recommend that we all read this report. The reason I am writing to you at this time is the Greater Lewis Community Village is eligible for a Councilmatic grant and will be on the agenda Tuesday, January 15, 2013. I'd appreciate any grant funds you could offer them.
And of course, on to the council. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you. First item of business under County Administrator is the Finance Director position. As you know, Susie Webb announced her retirement in December, and she'll be leaving the county in May after 20 years of dedicated service. This County Council is authorized to appoint the Finance Director per Delaware and County Codes. Today, I am recommending you appoint Ms. Gina Jennings as the Finance Director appointee to serve alongside Susie until her retirement in May, and at which time Gina will become the county's new finance director. Gina has worked for the county for nearly 6 years and is currently the director of accounting. Previously, Gina worked as an accountant for Ernst & Young in Philadelphia and came to the county from the town of Milton, where she served as finance director. She's more than qualified to serve as the county's next finance director and follows in the footsteps of Susie Webb and Dave Baker, who both served as county accounting director before being promoted to finance director. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have on this recommendation. If not, I have a motion for your consideration.
Any questions from council?
Well, as the only woman on council, I know we will be very careful to call Mrs. Webb, Mrs. Webb, and Mrs. Jennings, Mrs. Jennings, as just the same as we would treat any other member of the administration or the council. Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank you, Mrs. Deaver.
You are welcome.
Yes, Mrs. Deaver.
Okay, Mrs. Deaver.
Mr. Lawson, you have a motion, please?
I do. Be it moved, the County Council approve Mrs. Gina Jennings as the Finance Director appointee effective today to serve in such capacity until the retirement of Mrs. Susie Webb and at such time to serve as the county's finance director.
Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Congratulations. Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I also vote yes. Congratulations, Mrs. Jennings.
Should we have a recount?
Just no, case. I think we're good.
All right.
There's no hanging chads around here.
No hanging chads.
Mr. Lawson?
Thank you. Only one item for the county's administrator's report. County offices will be closed on Monday, January 21st, 2013, for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Offices will reopen on Tuesday, January 22nd at 8:30, and County Council will have its regularly scheduled meeting at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Means Mrs. Griffith is off next Monday?
Oh, that's correct. I'm getting my car service.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
That's
Mrs. Webb.
Thank you. I also would like to congratulate Mrs. Gina Jennings. She will do a fine job, and Todd made a perfect point about the continuity of the county and the finances, and that has been our strongest, one of our strongest areas, as you will see next week when we bring in the audit report. Today, I'm doing the allocation for the 2012 private activity cap reassignment. We do this every year in January. The state has sent the request for their private activity volume cap to be reassigned to them, our portion. They are requesting if any portion of the $28,455,000 that is assigned to Sussex County can be reassigned back to the state for reallocation to the Delaware State Housing Authority. They bundle up all the unused allocation and do bonds for the Housing Authority. During 2012, the county did not have any private business with projects that applied for this. If council agrees, we would reassign this allocation back to the state. Our new 2013 allocation is estimated at this state to be $29,190,000. And I do have a motion if there's not any question.
Please read your motion, Madam.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves reassigning its 2012 private activity volume cap of $28,455,000 to the state of Delaware.
Entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Mr. Phillips.
Is this an area that we could focus on to provide greater economic opportunity for Sussex County businesses?
We can, and we have. If you remember back with the stimulus package, they had broadened this private activity bond and opened it up to, because it's very specific qualifications, basically manufacturing, and they did it for anything for new capital, but the banks were so tight with their money. We did have a couple applicants, and they could not find financing. This is not that's anything that's financed through us. And if you remember, NRG had come in, and that is an example of what kind of company uses this kind of private activity bonds. It's so they can get tax-exempt funding, and it's large issues, up to $10 million. I believe it is noted that it is available on our web with our other economic development tools, but because it's not something we do internally, we don't have all the documentation, like for our own. And I would venture to say businesses that are big enough and can afford this kind of funding know it's available.
The poultry companies come to mind. I know there is talk about some expansion coming up.
Purdue has used this before. I believe Cadbury used it. This was before my time. But nonprofits can fall in this category as well. So it was popular in the day when I believe financing through other means was a little bit looser.
I'm thinking about the new poultry company on Delmarva, the South Korean company. They may not be aware of it.
Maybe we can reach out to them and give a phone call.
Great, thank you.
Maybe our public information officer could do something, make an announcement about that.
Any more questions from council? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Godwin, wastewater agreement.
Mr. President, members of council, this morning I have just one agreement for your consideration, and this is Sussex County Project Number 81-04 of Barrington Park, a.k.a. Bishop's Landing Agreement Number 7332. The developer in this case is Mr. Stephen Broadbeck of Columbia, Maryland, and the location will be the southwest corner of Road 353 and intersection of 352. It will become part of the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It will be serving a subdivision consisting of 206 single-family homes and 251 townhomes and with amenities to include a clubhouse, pool, tennis court, dog park, etc. This project will supply services to 191 units of this phase. The system connection charges total $1,177,324. Of course, we do have approvals from DENREC and our own engineering department, and we're expecting 100 days of construction with a construction administration and construction inspection cost totaling $116,140.80, with a proposed construction cost totaling $774,272. And I have a motion for your consideration. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 733-2, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Dove Barrington Development, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Barrington Park, a.k.a. Bishop's Landing, located in the Millville expansion of Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
I have a question. I heard you mention that they're putting in a dog park.
That's what it says. Yes, ma'am.
Music to my ears, because I have communities in my district, you don't have them, and they're trying to figure out ways to get one installed, get one started. They're
sounds
very, very
though,
popular.
Well, that's not racing greyhounds.
I know it's not.
I don't think that's
where so. I admire that, and I think it's something we should.
I think the developer deserves recognition for that, because it's clearly his responsibility to offer these kind of amenities along with other features that his customers are anxious for.
Right.
Any more questions from council? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Sorry, surprised that Jones going to the dogs this morning, but anyway, I vote yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Rizzo, Airport Advisory Committee appointments.
Good morning. I'm here to discuss our annual appointments to our Airport Advisory Committee. We have seven members of the public that serve on the committee in various capacities. I'll just give you a quick rundown of the various categories, and these categories are established by the bylaws of the Airport Advisory Committee. We have one fixed base operator, one non-commercial airport tenant, one commercial airport tenant, two airport-based owners, one industrial park tenant, and one representative at large. That's seven members, and of the existing seven members, six wish to return. Our departing member, Mr. Bob Young, served as one of the airport-based owners, but sold his aircraft during 2012. We are recommending Mr. Gus Kroll be appointed to that airport-based owner position. And if there aren't any questions, I have a motion where I could read the names and their associated positions.
Read your motion, sir. He's a tenant also, is what you're saying.
Yes.
No, Mr. Kroll is not a tenant, but he owns an aircraft that is based at the airport.
All right.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council appoints the following members to serve on the Airport Advisory Committee for 2013. Mr. Garrett DeNoga, fixed base operator. Mr. Larry Kelly, non-commercial tenant. Mr. Jeff Reed, commercial tenant. Mr. Rick Garner, airport-based owner. Mr. Gus Kroll, airport-based owner. Mr. Mark Ryan, industrial park tenant. And Mr. Richard Wilson, at-large.
The only at-large person? Only one at-large person.
That's what the bylaws have listed. I think we're going to propose, we've talked with Todd, Mr. Lawson, about looking at the bylaws and see if we want to expand that, but we feel like we need to get together with the existing committee, talk to those individuals, and maybe come back to County Council with a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. One question. How's Mr. Jeff, how's he a commercial operator?
How is Mr. Jeff Reed he's a commercial tenant. He's not.
Our commercial tenant.
He is running a commercial business at the airport.
And what is his business?
He fixes and repairs aircraft.
Okay. At the airport?
At the airport.
Okay.
Any more questions? Entertain a motion?
I'll give it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
I just think that we're doing a very good job of being in touch with the folks at the airport and folks who rent from us, and I think it's great. We would like to see some more at-large people on that committee.
Okay.
But that's it.
That's all.
Any more questions of council? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
By the way, and I guess it'd be news for Joan, but she said she'd like to have more people at large. These meetings are open to the public, and anyone is allowed to speak at these meetings. And it's publicly knowledge, whatever they want to complain about or suggest.
Yeah, we routinely get, I'm going to say, between 2 and 5 members of the public that attend the meetings and give input, but certainly we could use more.
But I want to make that well aware that they are allowed to do that.
Thank you, sir. Old business, Mr. Lank.
Morning.
We have 2 items of old business this morning. First one being conditional use number 1945, which is the application of Alfonso Matos to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a small storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 14,964 square feet, more or less, lying southwest of Route 20, also known as Concord Road, 392 feet southeast of Haven Road, or Haven Drive, excuse me, the entry into the Broad Acre subdivision, and also approximately 1 mile east of U.S. Route 13, and being identified on tax rolls as tax map ID 132, district map 2, parcel 133. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on September 20th of 2012. On October 11th, and did defer action. On October 11th of 2012, the Commission discussed this application under old business and again deferred action. On October 25th of 2012, the Commission again discussed the application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of conditional use 1945 for Alfonso Matos for a conditional use to operate a storage facility based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. 1, although advertised as a small storage facility, the proposed operation is really a sorting facility for the collection and shipment of clothing and other goods out of this country with regular tractor-trailer pickups and deliveries. 2, Mr. Smith is not satisfied that the property is configured in such a way that permits the safe entrance and exit of tractor-trailers. For example, the applicant stated that they would be using a private road for tractor-trailer access without providing any proof that such a use was permitted on that private road. 3, although the property has been historically used for small-scale commercial purposes, such as a grocery or a fish market, all of these have been in support of or not detrimental to the surrounding community. The proposed use as a warehouse, sorting, packing, and shipping facility is not consistent with the surrounding properties and uses. 4, the size of the parcel at 14,964 square feet is too small for the proposed use and the tractor trailers that would serve it. 5, this is a type of use that is more suited to existing commercially or industrial zone properties where there is sufficient space for the proposed operation of the trucks that will serve it. And 6, several parties appeared in opposition to the proposed use, expressing concerns about the incompatibility of the use, the applicant's ongoing failure to maintain the property in a neat and orderly manner, which raised concerns about the future use and maintenance of the property, safety concerns about truck traffic trying to get in and out in such a small parcel, and that it should be located somewhere else that is more appropriate for the use. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Johnson, and carried unanimously to forward this application to the Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried unanimously 5-0. The council held a public hearing on October 9, 2012, and council requested that Mr. Matos suggest some conditions of approval that he would support. The Planning and Zoning Department received those suggestions from Mr. Matos on October 12, 2012, and they were forwarded the suggestions on October 12 to council. On December 11, 2012, the council discussed this application under old business and asked that I prepare some suggested findings of fact and suggested conditions for future consideration. Those findings of fact were forwarded and suggested conditions on March 26, 2012 to you as council for consideration. Did you want me to read those into the record?
Please.
Thank you very much. Anyway, there was I prepared a memo with the attachments, and that was again done on December 26. The suggested findings, which you can consider, strike, use, or whatever, because there are any suggestions. Council finds that the conditional use was appropriate legislative action based on the following findings of fact. One, this is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a small storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 14,964 square feet, more or less, lying southwest of Route 20, Concord Road, 392 feet southeast of Haven Drive, the entry into Broad Acres subdivision, approximately 1 mile east of U.S. Route 13. Two, DelDOT commented that the traffic impact study was not recommended and that the current level of service C of Route 20 will not change as a result of this application. Three, the Sussex Conservation District commented that the applicants will be required to follow recommended erosion and sedimentation control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after construction. That no storm flood hazard area or tax ditch is affected, and that it is not likely that it will be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Four, the applicant, Alfonso Matos, was present and stated that they are proposing a small storage facility for receiving, processing, and packing of boxes of clothing and small household items to be shipped to the Dominican Republic. That there will not be any retail sales operations from the facility. That items are delivered by truck, boxes are loaded, and then shipped from the site by truck for shipment. That there will be an office for administrative paperwork and preparing items for customs. That there are two entrances to the site, one from Route 20 and one from Castle Lane, a private drive. That there are several business-type uses in close proximity between U.S. Route 13 and Concord. That no one resides on the site, that they would like to have a sign on the property, that the hours of operations are intended to be from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, that they would have at least three employees, and that the site has been previously used as a grocery store and as a tire store. Five, the site has historically been used for small business uses. An example, a grocery store, fish store, tire business, etc. Six, with the proposed conditions, the use will be as secure and unobtrusive as possible and will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the community. Seven, the use is of a public or semi-public character. Eight, there will be no parties present, and there were no parties present in opposition to this application at the public hearing before council. And nine, based on the record created before council, this conditional use is approved, subject to 10 conditions, which will serve to minimize any potential impacts on the surrounding area and adjoining properties. These are the suggested conditions. One, there shall only be one unlighted sign on the premise that shall not exceed 32 square feet on each side. Two, any security lighting shall only be installed on the building and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties. Three, the hours of operation of the storage facility shall be from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, except for administrative use. Four, there shall not be any tractor, trailer, truck activities on any Saturday or Sunday. Five, all entrance and roadway improvements required by DelDOT shall be completed by the applicant as required by DelDOT. Six, the applicant shall comply with any and all federal, state, and county regulatory agencies having authority and jurisdiction over the proposed use. And an example, Sussex County Building Code, DelDOT, the Conservation District, Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, Office of the State Fire Marshal, etc. Seven, there shall be no storage of materials outside of the building. Eight, any dumpster on the site shall be screened from view of neighboring properties, Route 20 and Castle lane by privacy fencing at least 6 feet high. 9, the location of all buildings, parking areas, loading areas, and driveways shall be shown on the site. And finally, 10, the site plan shall be subject to a review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. As stated, those findings are only suggestions, and the conditions are only suggestions. Okay. And the applicant did, Mr. Matos did provide 6 suggested findings that he would be receptive to, and they're basically oriented into those conditions and findings.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Lank from council?
Well, so we're the only group that had a look at those, and Planning and Zoning denied it but did not consider those.
Now, the commission had already made a recommendation.
To deny.
And the request for the conditions and findings were from the council.
Right, only from the council.
Only from council.
So we don't know how they would have reacted to that. There were people at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, I believe, that did oppose it. Help me understand, so I don't know anything about international shipping. Is there any other consideration that we should take a look at about whether that requires any other kind of oversight by any other government?
Well, their Delta will be involved as far as the shipping issue, as far as the entrances.
Mm-hmm.
The issue, since it's dealing with the shipments being prepared for Dominican Republic, somewhere along the line there is mm-hmm. customs inspections before it could be. So Mr. Matos and his group have to comply with all the custom regulations.
But the property would be appropriate to have customs inspect. I mean, there's no reason.
Oh, sure, it could be a customs inspection right there, but most of the time, I imagine a customs inspection are at port.
What?
Yeah, they're typically at port when they get ready to ship out.
Oh, yes. Okay. So it's nothing to do with that location.
But there could be inspections at that facility if there were issues to be addressed at mm-hmm. the port where they're mm-hmm. shipping from.
But that's not really in our purview. I was just curious about it. I imagine that there's a lot more truck travel than there would have been with a grocery store. But I just can't picture how many trips we're talking about compared to it having been a grocery store, because you have deliveries to the grocery stores too.
No,
like
right.
It had been a grocery store. But
it has been. It's been many different types of businesses mm-hmm. over the years. It's been there since probably the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But as stated, there was a grocery, small grocery, a fish store, a tire store.
Well, they had
probably a body shop. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. There's been multiple uses on that site.
They had, yeah. Well, they did have deliveries, but I imagine they were talking about the big trucks now, maybe the big UPS trucks.
Well, they're talking about tractor trailers.
That's different.
Is the question that was raised more by the commission than anything else? It's mm-hmm. large trucks.
Okay.
Coming into that site, and the site's only less than 15,000 square foot.
Okay.
Is there any way that they could operate with a restriction against tractor trailers?
The way it was presented by the applicant was tractor trailers. I mean, I can't say that they couldn't, because you don't know if individuals are bringing them to the site, or is the tractor trailers just coming in to pick up and.
Yeah, I would suggest that it's probably going to be a variety of size of trucks, over, you know, depending on what they get it and where they get it from. It's like anything else. But we know this, that a tire truck, when they're hauling tires in and out, they're pretty good-sized trucks. When the Cisco truck pulls up to restaurants and everything else, I've seen them small, I've seen them large. So I don't know if, you know, we can really, through a land use issue, to dictate and who's going to be there enforcing it, Vance. I mean, who's, you know, big truck pulls up, somebody calls in, we ride out there. No truck.
And it doesn't matter what they're hauling. It doesn't have any barrier.
Well, I know this. A fish store would, fish goes spoils faster than a lot of things. So you would think a fish.
Well, I'd hate to think people hauling stale fish in there.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. And then plus with the dumpster, food, and other things. So I remember that location vividly, riding by it hundreds and hundreds of times. So anyway.
Let's read the short title.
Yes. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a small storage facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 14,964 square feet And with the conditions as read by Mr. Lank, numbers 1 through 10.
Entertain a motion from council.
Make a motion. We adopt the ordinance with the 10 conditions that Mr. Lank alluded to. You know, not planning and zoning's recommendations, but what Mr. Lank's suggestions that he just finished reading. If that's clear with everybody.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
No.
No.
The no vote.
The reasons are.
You want a reason?
Well, it's, we usually.
Yeah, we should get
it. It is not a storage facility, and that's the title of this ordinance. It is a totally different operation, and we have had the Planning and Zoning Commission turn it down. They considered it out for a long time, many different meetings about it, and I think they were right. So that's why.
Mr. Cole.
Very familiar with this piece of property. I used to live in the Seaford area, and I can remember riding by that many, many times, and I can remember it being a fish place. I actually think I bought fish there. I can remember the tires, and they were all over the place. That was could have been considered an eyesore, and the groceries, I can't remember that quite as well. But that being said, the property's had this long history. I have seen many properties that if we allow them to just sit vacant, they become a magnet for other activities, which is not, there aren't real desirable, because the type of building it is, it's not conducive to residential uses. So it's there, it's what it is, and again, it's had a long history. So I think with those 10 conditions that Mr. Lank read into the record about the size of the sign, the Monday through Friday hours, Del Dots, it doesn't have any issue with it, screening the dumpster. I don't believe the dumpster, if somebody came in and asked for a fish store, we might be very receptive to that. And you can imagine the leftovers and what's thrown into a dumpster from fish operations or food operations could attract a lot of different types of varmints and you name it, critters, pests. So there's a number of ways that we could look at it. I believe that permitting a conditional activity there again, or commercial activity there again, is the best thing for the county to do. And no retail sales, I think, is also positive. So I don't think it'll be that, upsetting. And all those other activities we talked about, tires, fish, groceries, all require trucks, truck traffic, et cetera, et cetera. So my vote will be yes for those reasons.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Phillips.
I, too, know this area and location. I have concerns. I believe that the truck traffic, tractor trailers in and out of this is going to create a problem. But I think that they have a right to utilize this facility. It's a noble cause. We do need to turn to Del Dot to decide what's best. If tractor trailer traffic is going to be a problem in and out of here, Del Dot, I believe, has the ability to require them to make road improvements, to widen the shoulders, to make turn lanes, and I think Del Dot should do this. With these conditions, I believe that I would agree with Mr. Cole, and I'll vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, I'm inclined to go along with George with the 10 conditions. Yes.
I would agree with the findings of planning and zoning. I do have issues with the use of the private road. I'm not sure they have to use a private road, but I know I told us that. I have a big concern about tractor and trailers and out of that place. The shoulder is very small. I ride by there every day of my life. It's going to be, I think, an issue moving tractor and trailers in that facility. So I think planning and zoning was correct. I'll vote no, but the motion carried. Thank you. Next, sir.
The next second application under old business is conditional use 1932. It's the application of Tanya A. Gibbs and Kimwan L. Gibbs to consider conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an automotive sales lot to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 27,250 square feet, more or less, lying southeast of Road 285, also known as Beaver Dam Road, 2,500 feet south of Road 287, also known as Kendall Road, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 234, map 6, parcel 13.
You're in trouble.
The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 12th of 2012, and whereby they deferred action for further consideration. On August 23rd of 2012, the commission again discussed this application under old business. It was, it was noted that this application was deferred for further consideration after the public hearing on July 12, 2012, and again under old business on July 26, 2012, and August 9th of 2012. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of conditional use 1932 for Tanya A. Gibbs and Kimwan L. Gibbs for an automotive sales lot based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, at this point, the application is too speculative. The applicants did not provide enough detail about their plans for the use, how many cars would be offered for sale, how the sales would be conducted, where customers would park, etc. Two, the proposed use is incompatible with the surrounding area. There are no other uses as intensive as a used car lot in the vicinity of the site. Three, the proposed use is inconsistent with the applicant's current use of the site as a daycare center. Mixing small children and parents' pickups with used car sales and the traffic generated by used car lot could lead to a dangerous situation on the site or adjacent roadways. Four, this proposed use is better suited for a location where the proper zoning already exists or along a major arterial roadway. And five, in summary, I'm not satisfied that the applicant made a sufficient record to support the approval of this application in this location. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Burton, carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0. The council held a public hearing on August 7th of 2012 and basically heard the same testimony and deferred action since the commission had made a recommendation. I have not prepared any proposed or suggested findings or conditions of approval since they were not requested.
We really don't have much of a record to go on, do we?
No, wasn't much of a record.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Moore, would you please read the short title?
Yes, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an automotive sales lot to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 27,250 square feet, more or less. Tax map ID 2-34-6-13.
Entertain a motion from council.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Your motion is to?
Well, to approve. We always make it to
all
approve.
Right,
I'm
sure.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to approve the application. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I'm going to go along with planning and zoning on this. They voted 5-0. The thing that sticks out for me and that I remember from our hearing is a lack of sufficient record. And I just think it's a shame that the applicant didn't have more advice on how to put this together. But I don't see what we could base any kind of yes vote on here. So I say no.
Cole.
I'll support the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation. I think they had the right reasons for denial. I'll vote yes. I mean, I'll vote no. That's what I meant.
You have voted no.
I have voted
okay.
No.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record and recommendation by planning and zoning, I too will vote no. I just don't believe that this has been put together very well, and if it was challenged in court, we may have a very difficult time defending our decision.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote on recommendation plan and zoning. I vote also no.
I also agree with planning and zoning's reasoning and recommendation. I vote no. Motion defeated.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. We got a half hour, okay. Let's move to grant request, Mrs. Webb.
Okay, first one today, Town of Georgetown. Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson.
For their playground.
For the recommendation, I gave you $1,000.
You gave $1,000, your recommendation was $1,000.
I'll second that motion.
A motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,000 from Mr. Wilson's councilmatic grant money to the Town of Georgetown for playground equipment.
I have a little Georgetown in my district now.
Okay.
And I think I'd like to add $500 to that out of my account. How do we handle that?
Mr. Wilson, will you accept that as your motion also?
I believe we can use that money.
Mr. Phillips, your second will include that?
Yes, sir.
So we have a motion, a second, to grant $1,000, Mr. Wilson, $500, Mrs. Deaver. Any question on that motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Oak Orchard Riverdale American Legion Post number 28. For sewer hookup.
For sewer hookup, correct.
Well, I thought it was for,
this is to pay the plumber for this.
I know they're in a bad situation, having lost some of their income temporarily anyway. And did they say what they're talking about, that number wise?
Their price for their expense of this is $9,400.
Well, that's Georgia's district.
She pulled that out. I thought she was going to miss that.
What was that?
She heard the price. She said
that's called bailing ship, Georgia.
I was distracted. I was studying the agenda.
The request is from Oak Orchard Riverdale American Legion, and they need $9,000 to help pay some.
And you were willing to do what?
I was going
to
give it to you.
Oh, you're going to put it in my lap.
What's your district?
Well, it is my district.
Yeah.
But I knowing how they service that whole area, and it's right on the line, and your husband being a member.
Now.
I would think that you would like to match $1,000 with me on helping the.
Well, that would help somewhat. I would certainly be willing to do that.
So we'll do I'll do $1,000, and she'll do $1,000. Now, this does service, Jim.
I'm good for $500.
That's good, because this is so widespread. This is the largest American Legion, I know, in the state, but it may be one of the largest in the country. So it has people coming from Georgetown and your area, Sam.
I'm too far west.
You're not.
No, this for about all.
But anyway, this is a good call. All right, we've got then $2,500, I think, total.
We have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver, to grant $1,000, Mr. Cole, $1,000, Mrs. Deaver, $500, Mr. Phillips.
That's right.
Any questions on a motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
The Rehoboth Beach Boys and Girls Club. I am not recommending a grant for them today. They crisscrossed with the human service grants. It was the same letter, so we're good on those.
Okay.
The Rehoboth Beach Historical Society.
They were, what is it? Their project is the...
It's the museum. It's the second floor.
Right. And they're getting closer and closer to getting the funds. I will give $2,500 to the Rehoboth Beach Historical Society.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $2,500 for Mr. Cole's account to the Rehoboth Beach Historical Society Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on the motion?
I'm hoping it'll be a big statue.
We'll take a look, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Like Columbus. No. Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
And the Greater Lewis Community Village, they did make an application for the human service grant, and at the time they were not set up as a 501(c) eligible to receive that, and they have since changed that working through the Delaware Community Foundation. There is human service grant funds still available, and they did make application on time at that time, but in my procedures that I do, that's when that came to light, and we knew that because they have been here before to speak to county council. So they are on the list today, and I am recommending a human service grant since there's budgeted funds available.
How much?
I looked through the agencies that were like that with senior citizens, and the only thing that really compares to them are the cheer and all that, and they get a large amount.
Yeah, that's the difference there.
So I'm recommending $750 today.
$750.
We do have $1,620 available still.
Well, I don't want to take all that money, but this is our retired folks, and it's one of the big issues here in the county. And Mr. Moore read the letter and describing how important it is. These are people helping themselves, not looking really at the government. They're looking for, they are nonprofit. They're looking for a little bit of help to get started. I'm willing to put $5,000 toward it, with the caveat that I can't do that every year. But they're just getting started, and I think that they deserve a healthy council grant this year.
So I assume we will do that then in place of any of the money you talked about, human service grants.
Well,
no, I wasn't thinking of that. No, I'll get them onto the human service grants for the next year. But if you want to do that, I would make it $6,000 then. Because I really believe in people getting themselves together, organizing, and not looking to the government.
I think I heard Ms. Webb say 750 would be her recommendation. So if it's okay with you, Ms. Deaver, I'll make a motion that we give $5,000 from Ms. Deaver's discretionary account, 750 from the human service grant account.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion?
This is to the Greater Lewis Community Village?
Yes, sir.
And it's going to be an example for all over the county.
The way I read it, half these people are just moved here in the last 10 years.
I didn't check their credentials. Well, you mean you think I'm they're undocumented?
Well, I don't know
what you think.
It says here they have migrated. About 50% of people have migrated here.
We don't.
The paper says, Joan, it comes from you.
Oh, I see. Well, we don't discriminate against them, do we?
I'm not trying to discriminate, but I'm just trying to say, you know, sometimes if these folks are so valuable to us.
Is it a seasonal migration, or do you think it's
I don't know.
Permanent?
I know it's a cost.
I know some of these geese fly in, and they stay on these golf courses all year round nowadays.
Do
you think this could happen?
We'll move on. More questions, Mr. Wilson.
I'm hoping I can. I don't know if I'm making my point here or not.
No, I don't think you are.
Well, you're not, because you're not listening, George.
The Cape and the beaches all the way down to Fenwick supplies over half of the money that's used in this county to support
this
county.
I noticed that most of our grants, most of them goes east. So if they're also self-supporting and coming in this county, why are we spending so much money east?
The money is going to the county.
We will call for the vote.
I'd love to ask Sam a question. But
Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
I'm going to abstain. I wasn't quite clear on all the points being made before the vote was called. And, you know, it was fair that it was called, but I'm just not ready to vote. I think you got your three votes.
Mr. Wilson.
I'd say no.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Jeez.
Moore, opposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, Mr. President, there's one. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 7.57 acres more or less, tax map ID 2-35-30-26 in District 3.
Deaver introduced it. That all, sir?
Yes, that was the only one, Mr. President.
Chip, anything for no additional business? We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for land acquisition.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We're now in executive session. In the